Welcome to the AT Parenting Survival Podcast, where you get help and guidance through the chaos of parenting a child with anxiety or OCD. This show is for educational purposes and is not intended to replace the guidance of a qualified professional. Here's your host, child therapist, Natasha Daniels.
Well, hello there, and welcome to another episode of the AT Parenting Survival Podcast. Today, I want to talk to you about how our parenting styles impact the anxiety and OCD journey. And I think it's really fascinating when we look at our parenting styles in general, and then we incorporate that into the whole journey of how we approach our child's anxiety or OCD. I have seen in my therapy practice, in my AT parenting community, a huge overlap with parenting style and the issues that pop up when we're trying to help our kids with anxiety or OCD. So I hope that you find this helpful. Before we jump in, a couple of announcements. I do want to thank NoCD for sponsoring this episode. NoCD offers affordable, effective, convenient therapy, and they're available in the U.S. and outside of the U.S. You can schedule a free 15-minute consultation to see if NoCD is the right fit for you and your child. Just go to treatmyocd.com. That is treatmyocd.com. I'll also leave a link in the show notes. My OCD workbook is now out and available wherever you buy your books online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, wherever. And you can help your child supercharge their tools on how to crush OCD. This is a book for 8 to 12-year-olds, but it can go a little bit younger. It can go a little bit older. It's called Crushing OCD Workbook for Kids. And I systematically go through literally what I would do with a child in my office, but I make it really fun and simplistic so that a therapist, a parent, or even a child, a little older child, can pick it up themselves and walk them through those steps. And you can find that wherever books are sold or at natashadaniels.com/OCD book. And that will take you to Amazon. All right, let's jump into this topic for today. I was thinking about this as something that I observed. And I thought, this would make a great podcast episode because I do find it really fascinating that there is this lens in how we parent our kids and how that impacts how we parent them through their anxiety or OCD. So let's dive into that. So I want to talk about three different types of parenting styles. And let me just have a huge little caveat before I go into this, that this is overly simplistic because our parenting approaches are very nuanced and they don't easily fit into little boxes. And you may find yourself saying, well, I'm not totally that, but I'm not totally this. I totally recognize that. But for the sake of simplicity for this episode, I'm going to just speak about it in a very boxy sort of way, that we have these three different types of parenting styles. Most of us are going to be a little messy in between, but you'll get the overarching idea of what I'm talking about today. And so in parenting, typically, there's a spectrum. You can have permissive parenting, and we're going to go into each category more in detail. And so this might be a parenting style that where it is hard for you. I'm going to talk about the negative aspects just because we're going to be talking about the struggles. And so it may be hard for you to say no to your child. It may be super hard for you to see your child in distress. And so you do everything you possibly can to minimize that distress, even at the cost of maybe setting healthy boundaries. So what does that look like? Well, when you have a toddler, that looks like a toddler who's crying a lot and, you know, wants that red thing, and you get frustrated or you get overwhelmed and you give in, you know, and so you're at the checkout and they want that piece of candy or they want to watch that extra show, and it's overwhelming for you to either say no, or it's overwhelming for you to see your child in distress, or it's overwhelming sensory-wise, just the noise and the chaos that they create when they are uncomfortable or are told no, that you give in. And so now there are people who parent intentionally with a permissive parenting style. And I'm not talking about that per se, but I'm just talking about the overarching idea that I can't handle my child's distress for whatever reason. And we're going to talk about what those reasons are in a second. And so I wind up caving. Now, on the flip side of that, we have kind of the really super strict parent who has a lot of like micro control and micromanaging their child and very discipline oriented and a lot of rules and a lot of things the child has to follow and a lot of the parent dictating and controlling what the child does and how they do it. Now, those are two very extremes, and most of us don't live on either side of that. We live in the middle. And some of us, you know, favor one type of parenting style, but we might flip once in a while. But there are people that have a combo style. And this is, they go one extreme, super permissive, all the way to the other extreme, super strict. And I have seen that parenting style too. And I'm putting that in a separate category because that is a uniquely disruptive parenting style that none of us are intentionally doing, by the way. In that we might swing too far to one of those sides. It makes us really uncomfortable. We swing way over to the other side. Or conversely, we have one parent who's way over on the permissive side. The other parent feels like, ugh, that's not how I want to parent. And so they overcompensate and swing way over on the other side and they're super strict. And that's very common that we see parents trying to balance out the other partner's parenting style by going in the opposite direction. I kind of call that seesaw parenting, where the other parent's trying to balance. And so you might be a parent where you think your partner is too strict, and so you become overly permissive because you feel like, gosh, they get so much from their dad that I'm going to swing in the opposite direction. Are any of these starting to feel like, that's actually me? And you may not. You may be in the middle. You might feel like, well, you know, I don't feel like I'm too over permissive and I don't feel like I'm too strict. I'm in the middle. And that is the sweet spot that ideally we want to be in. I don't think most of us as parents ever feel like we're optimally finding ourselves there all of the time. I do feel like we tend to favor one side or the other a little bit more, even though in a perfect world, we have a balance of setting healthy boundaries and respecting autonomy while also being empathetic and compassionate and meeting our child where they're at. That's the most beautiful thing that we want to be, right? That we can really see our kids as individuals. Our parenting style might adapt for each one of our kids. Some of our kids might need, you know, a firmer boundary. They want to go right up to that wall and figure out where does that boundary start. And they're pushing the limits on purpose to feel safe, to feel like, where's that boundary? And other kids maybe are so boxed in by their own boundaries and their own need for strictness and rules that they're so hard on themselves that we might find ourselves adapting and being more permissive to give them that wiggle room to find their autonomy and find their own inner pacing of who they are and what they can and cannot do. And so, and we have to adapt that at all of the time. You know, I'm finding that one, I have to have a different type of parenting style with each one of my kids, and that's exhausting and confusing. And then as they develop and mature, I'm having to adapt and readapt my parenting style to meet where they're at and what lessons I'm trying to teach them. And it is messy. It's messy. And I think most of us don't feel like we're knocking it out of the park, you know, myself included. And so this episode isn't to make us feel bad about whatever parenting style we're having. But I think the more introspective we become and the more aware we are of our own parenting style and the origin of it and where it's coming from and where we want to be, like what is our ultimate goal? What do we align with? And how does that fit in to how we're going to help our kids with anxiety or OCD? That's the goal. I think intention, like parenting with intention, is such a beautiful thing. And I don't think it happens often. I feel like most of us are reactive. Very uncommon for us to pause a lot of times and say, whoa, where did that come from? Where did that reaction of myself come from? Or why am I parenting in this way? Because I think we're all just trying to survive and we don't have time for that. But maybe for this little episode, we can have time to ponder Where is that coming from? And what intention do I want? Not that you're always going to be able to do it, but where do I really want to parent from? So let's just talk about the origins of these parenting styles. I think for some of us, it is the desire to be the opposite of our parents. And so if you were raised in a very strict, authoritative type of household, you may have said to yourself, I'm never going to be like my parents. I'm going to hear my kids. I'm going to give my kids what they need. If you had like a neglectful childhood, you might want to say like, I want to be able to provide for my kids, whether that's emotionally or physically. And so the opposite happens. Now, we might have also had too permissive a parent where they let us run amok and they didn't give us any structure. And we think, you know, if my parents had been stricter with me or had clearer boundaries, I wouldn't have had all the hardship that I had. Whatever. It's different for each one of us. And so you might swing to the other side. So the general gist of what I'm saying is some of us are parenting in the effort to be the opposite of what we experienced. Think about that. Is that what you're doing? You know, are you parenting in a way that is to not be like your parents? Now, the next one is you're actually parenting like your parents because it was modeled for you. And so it's all you know, or you liked it. You think, my gosh, my parents were such amazing parents, and I want to provide the same kind of parenting to my kids. That's ideal. If you had fantastic parents, you turned out great, and then you're just modeling their parenting style, that they were compassionate but had boundaries, and you felt heard, but you also felt, you know, that there was like appropriate structure in your house, like a nice balance. And so maybe that was modeled for you and you're trying to model that for your kids. That's optimal. Very rarely happens, but that's an optimal, wonderful experience if that's your life. The other thing that can happen is that we're modeling dysfunction. It's all we know. It's what happened to us. We don't know any other way. And we think it was okay. And so we are either overly permissive because our parents, we walked all over our parents, or we're overly strict because our parents were overly strict. And the last one is kind of a tug of war of not wanting to be like our parent or our childhood, not wanting to emulate that, but it happens automatically. And this might happen with that kind of like yo-yo parenting that I was talking about, where you're a combo, where you go way over permissive and then you swing way over to strict, and you're having some, I don't think it has to be that extreme for some of us to be like, oh my gosh, my mom just came out of my mouth. Have you ever had that experience where you're like, I just like became my mother, or I just became my father? And then we can beat ourselves up about that. And we're like, ugh, that felt gross. I didn't want to be like my parent. And I like heard myself saying exactly what my parent would say to me. I think a lot of us experience that. And so then you kind of sometimes swing, you autocorrect, you might over autocorrect, or you appropriately autocorrect. But there is this, you know, this combo thing that's going on that, depending on how often that happens and how far we're swinging, can be a little bit disorienting for our kids. So though that's just parenting, and that's really a simplistic way of describing parenting, because I don't want to spend too much time on just general parenting style. I want to talk about how that impacts how we show up for anxiety and OCD, because I feel like there is a lens, and I often talk about this, that there's a lens that, oops, I just hit the mic, I'm sorry. There is a lens in which we are looking at our child's behaviors, and I think there is a lens of parenting that we're operating from before we even introduce anxiety and OCD. And that I do feel like makes a bit of a difference in who is successful and who is not successful in creating a healthy therapeutic home environment for the child with anxiety or OCD. So after the break, I'm going to dive into how this interacts with anxiety and OCD and how we can work on it to make it more effective. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's time we put help directly in our kids' hands. Introducing Crushing OCD Course for Kids and Teens.
It was way more helpful than all the other therapy we've ever done, because we didn't really know what to do. So we weren't really doing it before. So the course helped to figure out what the exposures are and how to do them.
We're not in therapy and find it really hard to find an ERP trained therapist here. So we're currently with like the public health service, but again, they don't seem to be trained in ERP. It's filled that gap that we don't have that was desperately needed.
This was really well timed for us to use between therapists and to help us like start, get off to a good start with this new practice.
It was easy to use. I was able to do it from my phone or also on the computer.
There's different ages, you know, so there were younger kids, there were teenagers. And so that was really nice too, to have a variety of ages where it wasn't just geared towards younger kids or older kids. It was a nice variety.
It's helpful for our kids to hear it from this like third party as opposed to just us saying it.
I really like the offense and defense method. I love working on poking at OCD while it's sleeping. It makes it a little bit easier to do and it's kind of fun. I'm planning on using it to work on my fear of like holding your touching batteries and stuff like that.
So it was really helpful and I think a lot of other kids would like it. I thought that I was like the only one who had worrying about the weather and stuff. And then there was somebody else on there who worried about the same thing, which was really helpful.
Seems less scary to work on stuff now that I've watched this class and I'm more interested to work on it.
I like trying to do more exposures still and going to, before I wasn't, I just didn't want to do them.
I've worked on some of my bigger compulsions and been successful.
I realized that it was helpful to do like the exposures before. It was like really, really hard. It's still hard, but it's helpful to know that I need to do them.
Before there would be a lot of battles about it. So it is definitely less loggerheads.
Really, really good course and super helpful.
Definitely would recommend this. It's really easy to follow. It's in nice bite-sized videos. I really like the worksheets that go along with it, and I think it's really helpful.
To learn more about this course and register your child or teen, go to atparentingsurvivalschool.com.
All right, welcome back. So before the break, we were talking about the, you know, just very generic different ways of parenting, parenting styles. I kind of simplified it. And, you know, where those origin stories of parenting come from. And now I want to talk about how this impacts anxiety or OCD. And so when we are dealing with anxiety or OCD, a lot of times we're going to be dealing with difficult behavior, right? Because when anxiety is not fed or when OCD is not fed, it grows bigger and it gets angry. And a big part of learning our role in pulling back anxiety, in pulling back our entanglement with anxiety or OCD is, you know, learning what part we're contributing. You know, if I am, you know, wiping everything down for my child's compulsions, or I am answering their reassurance questions ad nauseum in a compulsive way, like, yes, my hands are clean. Yes, you can eat that. Yes, the door is washed. Yes, the doors are locked. Whatever the theme is for your child, if I'm part of that loop all of the time, I'm growing OCD. And so the first step in anxiety and OCD treatment, or one of the first things on the parenting side of it, is that we learn our role in it. And that's one of the first things I teach parents in the AT parenting community is we are one piece of the puzzle, but we want to do that piece really well. And the first step is one, understanding anxiety and OCD fully, understanding the many different disguises it wears and the different ways it can show up. And then the second part is, what is my involvement in this? And that's separate from my child's motivation to work on it. There's something I can work on, which is, how do I dance with anxiety or OCD? Do I grow it with my child? Do I partner with anxiety and OCD and grow it for my child? Do I feel like my house is hijacked and I have to do everything that anxiety or OCD tells me to do? And learning how to systematically pull back those accommodations that are actually growing anxiety and OCD that you're a part of is one of the first steps in our journey as parents raising kids with anxiety or OCD, which it sounds very simple and easy, maybe, but it gets messy very quickly depending on what parenting lens you're wearing. So let's talk about those. If I am coming from a permissive parenting style where I am really uncomfortable with my child's distress. And let's just talk about some examples. Let's say that, and I'm going to give you just some really random examples. Let's say I didn't feel 100% heard or listened to as a child. And so I wanted my child to feel 100% heard. And I want my child to be really happy. And I want my child to really love me. And I have this idealistic view of my child is going to be happy. They're going to be heard. They're going to love me as a parent. And maybe that's coming from a lack in my own childhood. I didn't feel heard. I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel seen. And so I want my child to love me, right? And so, and that's just one of a zillion examples of how maybe our childhood could impact our parenting. So when my child is crying and they're unhappy, that creates a huge level of distress in my own body. Because to me, it's rejection, first of all. My child's not happy. My child's not having the happy childhood that I have envisioned, that I want it to be different than mine, or maybe similar to mine. It depends. If my child is saying hurtful things when I am not engaging in the anxiety or OCD, and they're saying, you're not helping me, you're a horrible parent, you know, the things that our kids will say when we start to detangle ourselves from anxiety and OCD's clutches, that is going to hit a core. Because if you have felt unloved, or if you feel really, if you are measuring your success as a parent based on your child's love for you, this is going to feel like a complete failure. And I'm not saying that it's not hard for parents who don't have those issues, but it is immobilizing, paralyzing for the parent who, one, has this idyllic idea that their child's never going to be under distress and they want to protect them in a bubble, and two, feels like their child has to always like them. It's hard to parent when you want your child to always be your cheerleader and you want your child to always tell you how wonderful you are, because sometimes when we're doing it right, they're not happy with that. And that's especially true with anxiety or OCD. And so if you don't have a stomach for that, and a lot of us in general, it doesn't feel great, right? It doesn't feel good when your child says, you're not helping, you're a horrible parent, whatever our kids will say in the moment when we are setting a boundary to not grow their anxiety or OCD. But when this is a huge wound for you, it can make you want to give in. It can make you question the effectiveness of this. It can make you question the modality and the therapy of this. It can make you question if this is actually going to help, because your child is hating you right now and you're gauging everything on your child likes you or doesn't like you. Is that true for you? Does this ring true? And it may not for you, because you might be on a different end of the spectrum, but that's just one example. Now, another example that I can think of from my own family and looking at my siblings and their parenting style, and you know, I psychoanalyze everything. We came from a family of neglect. And so a lot of emotional and physical neglect. We just weren't really part of our parents' plan. We were like a side note. We were in the way. They would forget to pick us up from school. They would forget to pick us up at different things. You know, I don't remember like being told to shower or taught any hygiene. I don't remember ever being tucked in to go to sleep at any age. Sometimes we wouldn't be fed. We'd have to kind of find food for ourselves. So a lot of neglect. And I know for some of my siblings, it seems like, you know, they might swing a little bit to the other extreme, where it's really hard for them to not give their kids everything because we didn't have a lot. And so for some reason, that doesn't impact me, but it may be because I'm a child therapist and I spend a lot of time looking at myself. I don't know, but I do see that in my family, where some of us who have kids feel like we have to give them everything. Look at your childhood. And I know, you know, we can psychoanalyze anything to death, but I do feel like our childhood really does dictate a lot of how we parent. It doesn't mean that if you had a dysfunctional childhood that you're just ruined and you're going to ruin your kids. I feel like I had a severely dysfunctional childhood, and I feel like I'm pretty moderate. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm very intentional. Sometimes my mom or dad comes out of my mouth, and you know, my dad was bipolar, my mom was a little borderline. And so it's not a beautiful thing when I say my parents came out of my mouth, because they both were rather abusive a lot of the time. But then I swing back to the middle. right? So I'm like, whoa, what was that? I recognize it. I recognize what the trigger was. And I kind of try to auto-correct, but not over-auto-correct. So that's how this can help. It's not to say, okay, I'm doomed because I had a horrible childhood. Well, welcome to the club. So did I. But can I intentionally try to do better? It doesn't mean that I'm not going to swing too far to the left or the right or make mistakes, but can I show up and have a conscious awareness as I'm parenting? And that I do believe we can. Okay, so the permissive parent is going to have a harder time typically pulling back and detangling themselves from anxiety and OCD. So they're going to have a harder time pulling back and staying firm when they're saying no to the anxiety or no to the OCD or their involvement in it. Now, the other type of parenting, the one that's a little too strict, they might overpunish what is actually anxiety or OCD. They might be more punitive. They may think they can discipline the anxiety or OCD out of the child. They may even actually be too overzealous in using the tools for anxiety or OCD and going at a pace that is not matching the child's. It's more of the parent's pace. And so it doesn't have to be that they're overpunishing. Sometimes we see that with one partner who doesn't get it, that they're overpunishing. They're getting angry. They're setting firmer boundaries. They feel like they have to discipline the anxiety or OCD out of the child. But there's also a softer version of this type of parenting where it's just an aggressive type of parenting style where they're micromanaging everything and they might be micromanaging therapy and wanting to do everything and force their child to do things and the child's not ready yet. And so then they get frustrated and angry because they found the steps to reduce anxiety and OCD and the child's not doing step one or step two. And it's like they get angry about that and they might become kind of pushy or forceful in that, which actually shuts the child down more. And so that parenting style, and I'm talking about these extremes, right? Most of us aren't going to be these caricature extremes, or we're not going to find ourselves in these caricature extremes. We might find our partners there. I think very rarely do we have enough insight to recognize these extremes in ourselves. So I would be surprised if any of you are listening thinking, oh, I'm that extreme, unless you're super extreme and you're like, yeah, actually I am that. I think most of the time you're going to spot it in your partner because that's just the way human beings are. And you probably will see yourself a little bit in one of these categories. That's not effective because you're going to shut your child down. And the anxiety or OCD is going to go covert. It's going to go hidden and it's still going to be in your child, but they're going to be very careful not to show you. And that's not helpful because long-term the prognosis isn't good when they're doing mental compulsions or they're stuffing their anxiety down where it's becoming physical and it's manifesting physically with the stomach aches and the headaches because they can't really even express it to you. Now, the third one, which we talked about, is the combo of, you know, being one extreme and then kind of going back to the other extreme, where sometimes parents do this with each other and they almost like cancel out their parenting approach. They do that as well with anxiety and OCD. You might have one parent that's over accommodating the anxiety and OCD and they're participating in the compulsions or they're helping the anxious child avoid without any skills. And then you have the other parent who's trying to get them to use their skills, trying to get them into therapy, trying to pull back their involvement in the compulsions. And it sends a mixed message to the child. It's conflicting, it's confusing, and it causes more chaos for the child, but there's no consistency. Or you might even be inconsistent in yourself, where sometimes you are able to set a firm boundary and say, from now on, we're not answering these type of questions that are OCD questions because we love you and we don't want it to grow. And you set this firm boundary, kind of using the space approach. The space approach is Elie Leibowitz's therapeutic modality of systematically pulling back accommodations involved in anxiety and OCD. So maybe you're doing that, but then you can't stomach it. So you do set this firm boundary and then you cave and you give mixed messages to the anxiety and OCD that says, sometimes I'm going to give in to your compulsions and sometimes I'm not. And it just depends on my mood or it depends on how much of a meltdown you have. And similar to having a toddler who has a meltdown and you wait 2 hours, you wait out the meltdown for 2 hours and then you give in at the, you know, 2 hour mark, you've just reinforced 2 hours of tantrums, right? It's very, very similar that you reinforce the anxiety or OCD because after the OCD or anxiety has a meltdown, you give in and you communicate to anxiety or OCD inadvertently that if you have a big enough meltdown, I will back down. Or if you have a big enough threat, I will back down. And that becomes a very slippery slope because it encourages more difficult behavior subconsciously. I don't think it's like a very intentional thing per se, not most of the time. Sometimes it is. That's the clear message that the anxiety and OCD get. Like, the more I make this difficult for my parent, the more they're going to back down. Now, sometimes I think as parents, we might be permissive or strict because of our own triggers, our own sensory overload, our own neurodivergency, whatever is going on with us. But there are origins to why this is happening, and you want to tap into that and think about that. Like, what is that for me? Okay, so, and this is a super simplistic episode, so please, you don't have to email me and be like, Natasha, you just made that very simplistic, and we're all more complicated than that. I know, but I'm trying, for simplicity's sake, make this as clear cut. We're all in the gray. But how do we deal with this? How, if we know, like, yup, you know what, I'm a little over permissive, or yup, I can be over strict, or I could be overzealous, or I could micromanage my child. What do I do with that? Well, luckily, we aren't stagnant in our parenting, just like our kids aren't stagnant in their anxiety or OCD. Every day is a new day. Every day is another day to practice. Every day is a day for us to evolve. I mean, my thought is I'm going to evolve as a human being until I die. I'm always growing. I'm always learning. Everything always brings back data. It always teaches me something. And some days are bad and some days are good. But it's always this daily practice of I get to show up today in the best way that I can. Oops, messed that day up. That's okay. Tomorrow's a fresh day. I get to show up in the best way that I can. Up, you know, I kind of felt pretty good about that day. Next day. Same thing with our kids. That's what I try to tell my kids. You know, you're an ever-evolving human being. And our mistakes are learning lessons for us to evolve and grow, not for us to beat ourselves up about, right? So with our parenting styles, we are ever evolving. You know, we haven't done this before. And so being introspective and looking at what's driving my parenting style, what kind of parenting style do I have? How does my parenting style relate to my childhood and how I was raised? In what way do I want to parent? In what way am I not parenting in that way? And what are some first steps to get to that point? How do I want to show up for the anxiety or OCD? And so the first step is maybe reframing some old stories. What stories are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself, my child needs to love me 100% of the time, overtly, with words and actions, for me to feel like I'm doing a good job? Well, is that a really good story to tell yourself? Is that realistic? Is that healthy? Are kids going to always pat us on the back and say, Mom and Dad, you're doing such a great job? No, they're not. And that's okay. So how do I reframe that story? How do I measure what parenting success looks like? How do I measure what that looks like with anxiety or OCD? Does it mean that my child, in the moment that I'm pulling back an accommodation for OCD, says, thank you, Mom and Dad, you're really helping. This is a really great idea that you're not giving in to my OCD. Well, you're not going to get that probably for a long time. If ever, maybe. Some kids will have that insight sooner than later, and a lot of kids won't. But if that's your gauge on success, you're going to feel pretty horrible. And so do you need to look at the research and say, what's the research on systematically pulling back my involvement in anxiety or OCD? Then pull up the research. Or do you need to say, I need to learn how to sit with the discomfort of my child sitting with discomfort? And I have to come up with a plan on how to regulate myself when they are dysregulated. Or maybe I need to see a therapist and deal with my own childhood wounds because this is very triggering for me. And maybe I'm recognizing that I need everybody in my life to be happy with me and that I'm a people pleaser. And if anyone is mad at me, I can't handle it. And that's a component that I need to work on. And that would be something helpful to work on. So reframing old stories. Maybe on the flip side, you say, if I'm not strict enough, I'll lose control. And I don't want to lose control. And I'm operating from fear. And if I'm not really strict right now, then my child's going to be, you know, unable to function as an adult because the world is not warm and fuzzy. And so I need to show them that. And is that the story that you want to go with? Because it's a really old school story, right? And so is there something more in the middle of, I want to show my child compassion and empathy while having firm boundaries? And so I can be loving and say, I love you, but your OCD wants me to do five, you know, loads of laundry a day. And if I do all those loads of laundry, I'm growing your OCD and that's not helpful. And so from now on, I will do one load of laundry per day. And then as you progress, you might say, I will do one load of laundry every other day. And as you progress, you might say, I'll do one load of laundry per week. And as you progress even further, you're going to do your own load of laundry because I love you. So it's not, this is the real world and you better wake up and you have to do your own laundry and you're creating like a zillion loads of laundry and you're going to be punished every time you make me do a load of laundry, right? We can still have firm boundaries and do it in a compassionate, loving way. And so sometimes when we have that stricter style, we don't know how to sprinkle in the compassion. We think it's one or the other. I'm either super permissive like my parents were and I don't want to be like that, or I'm super strict, or vice versa. I'm either permissive or I'm really strict like my parents and I don't want to be that way. So look at those old stories and ask yourself, can you tell yourself a new story, a more updated story? And you might need to get the support of a local therapist for that, or you might just be able to do your own work. You know, I have not found that I needed a therapist per se for this, but I have had life coaches for some reason. Because I'm a therapist, it's really hard for me to see another therapist. I know that sounds horrible. I think it's like a chef, like you go into another chef's restaurant. It's hard to eat there maybe because, you know what's going on in the behind the kitchen. But I do find life coaches a little bit more because I know they're not trained in the way that I am, different type of training. But anyway, I have had a life coach who's leaving and I'm very, very disappointed, but who would just be a soundboard for me in all sorts of things, including my parenting, where I'd say, oh, I'm feeling like really rough today about this. And it was just nice to be able to vent and have someone kind of reframe things for me. So validating it and then reframing it for me and also being compassionate with me and teaching me how to be self-compassionate. Do you have somebody like that? Maybe you get someone like that. Maybe your partner can be that person, or maybe your partner's the absolute wrong person. I don't know. Maybe you have a friend or a family member who can do that for you, or maybe you do that for yourself, but maybe it's something that needs to be done and maybe not. But I think looking at your parenting style in general will help you when you are parenting anxiety and OCD, because I always equate anxiety and OCD to a toddler, because when anxiety or OCD is not being fed, it acts like a toddler. And if you don't have the stomach for that because you're either too permissive or too strict, or you're bouncing like a yo-yo and you don't have the awareness that you're doing that, it's going to make that aspect of your journey even harder. And nobody wants that. So hopefully this episode just kind of brings you a different perspective, a different awareness. It maybe just makes you pause and say, let me think about this for a second. How am I parenting? And where do I want to parent from? And how do I get there? And you might be surprised if you kind of sit on this question for the next, day or so, what things might pop up for you. So I hope that you found this episode helpful. If you are finding them helpful, it's always nice to hit a star on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher and rate it. And if you leave a review, I greatly appreciate it. I want to thank Fitman84, who wrote Grateful. Our pediatrician recommended this podcast, and out of all the material she recommended, this was the best one. Yay, I'm so glad. I'm excited that your pediatrician recommended it. That's awesome. And I'm glad this was the best one. You continue. I'm so grateful for this podcast, and I've listened to several episodes already. My next step is to enroll in one of the courses. I'm not currently able to afford therapy, so I'm so grateful that this is available. The courses are also affordable, and it gives me a sense of hope that I can do something. Thank you, Natasha, so much for making this available. And you live in Canada, and I know in Canada, in the UK, and some of us in the United States just don't have access to that kind of therapy, whether it's like way too expensive, or there just isn't therapists that specialize in anxiety and OCD, especially OCD. And so that has been one of the big reasons why I do what I do, is to fill in the gap. I always say that I'm filling in the gap. Whether you are waiting to see a therapist, won't ever be able to see a therapist, or are currently seeing a therapist, I'm supplementing and filling in that gap. And I'm so glad that your pediatrician recommended this and that my courses can help, because my courses are meant to be either a supplement if you are lucky to have therapy and want to know like what should the parent do, or have a course for your child to take. And then my hope is it is also a standalone that you can do this yourself if you need to, and all the tools are there. It's not rocket science if someone can just walk you through it. And that is my goal with my courses. So I'm so glad that that's an option for you, and that hopefully that will be a helpful thing. So if you write a review, maybe I'll be reading your review next time. And I do hope that you find the sparkle in everything you do. And I'll talk to you again next Tuesday. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the AT Parenting Survival Podcast. To get additional support raising a child with anxiety or OCD, visit Natasha's online school of on-demand classes at atparentingsurvivalschool.com.